Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He was telling everybody how excited he was to get, like, to marry me. He was talking to all my friends about just, like, our future wedding plans and how much he loved me to, like, all these people. And it was the next day that he broke up with me.
Talk about engagement whiplash. Welcome to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. And if you're new here, this is the podcast that gets to the bottom of those messy breakup stories you want to know more about. I take submissions from a form in the episode description, or you can also tag me on social media if there's, like, a TikTok that you've seen that you want some more details on. We don't care where the story comes from. We just want to hear what happened and get some good lessons along the way. So if you've got a story tip for me, head down to the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. My name is Abby and I'm your lead relationship PI. And this week on the pod, our guest this week says that her fiance of 10 months decided to completely blindside her after her best friend's wedding weekend and say that he no longer wanted to be with her and she still doesn't have answers. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week we are shouting out an organization in San Francisco. It's called La Casa de las Madres. And if you want to find out more details on how you can help out this organization, I'm going to link all of their info in the episode description. Okay, so into this week's submission. So this week's submission is about somebody whose fiance walked out on them seemingly out of nowhere. Basically, this couple had been together for 4 years, kind of the picture perfect couple family situation. She ended up moving for him. They at some point get engaged during their relationship. And then along comes one of her very close friends' wedding weekends, and everything seems perfectly normal. But it was right after that he finally made the decision to end their engagement and their relationship, leaving her completely shocked and not understanding how any of this happened. But come on, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know there's never quite just a complete blindsiding situation. So let's get all the details when we break down this week's breakup.
So we met on Hinge in 2021, and something that immediately stood out before we even got together for drinks at this bar was we had a lot of mutual connections. And I say connections, not friends, because I wasn't necessarily friends with them, but I knew of them. So I'm from a very small town in the state I live in, and you kind of just know all of the people you go to high school with. Though some of those mutual connections I went to high school with, he actually befriended in college. And so it was really refreshing. I felt like we already kind of knew each other, or he had an into my world. And I think that was really important because in online dating, you don't really get that before you go on this random date with this random person. And so I was really excited because I was like, wow, he kind of already knows some of these people. He knows my hometown. He's from my parents' hometown. So it just kind of felt like he made my world feel a little bit smaller and safer already before I met him.
At what point in the relationship did you notice that maybe there were some things that felt a little off in it?
And it wasn't like these big, like, crazy moments. I really felt drawn to him because he was different from all the people that I had dated in the past. He wasn't flashy. He wasn't dramatic. He felt really dependable and very different from my past relationships. My intuition, there was things where it was like, oh, I like banter in a relationship. I like this, like, flirty banter. I don't like PDA, but, you know, like, if a guy wants to hold my hand, I'm not going to say no. And there was times at the beginning of the relationship where I really wasn't getting any of that. And I even brought it up a little bit to him. I was like, hey, like, every time I kind of, like, give you, like, a little flirty nudge, I'm having a hard time reading if you are interested in that or you like that. And he's like, oh, I'm just not that kind of guy. And something I really enjoyed about him and him being so different was he was nice. And, you know, like the nice guy who always opens your car door. He always like tells people what they want to hear. He is very loving towards like all the people. Everyone that met him is like, oh my gosh, he's such a nice guy. And that's truly what he is. He's a very nice guy. Not a kind guy, but we'll get into that. He never like attempted to kiss me until we were like on month. Okay, let's see. We started dating in December, January, February, March, April. He didn't try to kiss me until April. He was, and I always thought like, wow, this is like sweet. 'Cause you know, when you go on dates with guys and they're just kind of like handsy, or they just like, they get so offended when you say like, no, I'm not ready for a kiss. Or they just like kind of assume like, because they bought you dinner, they're going to get, you know, whatever from
Yeah,
you.
yeah. So
He
you
was
felt
not
like it
like
was
that at all.
respectful. It didn't strike you as odd. You're like, "Oh my God, he's so kind and thoughtful, wanting to go slow with me."
Yes, and that's exactly what he said. He was like, I'm a nice guy, like I want to take things slow. I really like you. And so I didn't really think anything of it. And in hindsight, like I never this is when I told my friends this, they were like, what? He didn't like making out. Like I have not made out with somebody for like 4 years.
Wait, you guys never made out?
He maybe made out with me once or twice, but he told me he didn't like it. Like even times where I was like initiating intimacy without going to like home base, like sex, he wouldn't kiss me. It was like those middle school pecks that you get, you know, like the little like here and there, or the forehead kisses, the hand holding. But it was never like, you know, when you're in the kitchen and your guy just like grabs your ass or like gives you a little love tap on the tit. Like it's nothing like that. Like it was seriously, it was really vanilla. And I would say that to him in like a playful way. It was like, I have never had such a vanilla sex life. And we would like made an inside joke about how he was like Tahitian vanilla. But like even like asking those like questions, like when you started like first dating, where it's like, where's the craziest place you've done, blah, blah, blah. And it was always like just the bedroom. I'm like, you've never had like sex in a crazy place, like not even a car. Like most people at the age of you have maybe had sex in a car, but. So even like some signs around like physical intimacy and not feeling and kind of feeling lonely in the fact of like me wanting to like explore more with my partner or do like more fun things around that. And I again just wiped it as he's a nice guy. Like he's so nice.
So I'm getting the sense that you really value the fact that he's nice. Like, have you had experiences in the past where it's like, well, at least he's not doing this, you know? Like, even though it's a little vanilla, at least it's not getting cheated on or something else.
Yeah, I will self-admit that I growing up was boy crazy. I started dating this military guy, which I think a lot of girls have experience with.
It's a canon event. You gotta date one dude in the Navy.
Yeah, and he was very, when I say like my ex-fiance wasn't dramatic or flashy and he was very dependable, that's how my military boyfriend was. He was very flashy. He cared a lot about what people thought. He wanted everyone to know he was like the best, and he was also very good at like the drama, telling me like not to hang out with certain friends, like all of those things. And I one time just looked at him and I said, I can't, like we can't do this. And in all of those relationships, oh, and he cheated on me. I found out through Amazon. That's a whole other side story. But I was cheated on in two relationships where I really cared about the person and I got broken up with. So I think like I just, when I say like nice, it was like finally for me, I found somebody where it was like, I don't think he will ever like betray me or like leave me. Like, even if I'm choosing this person to stay, like I'm not gonna ever feel like so sad or lonely in the relationship. 'Cause I'm very much a hopeless romantic. I'm very much somebody who believes that like you genuinely like have this spark and this connection and you fall head over heels for somebody. And then love is then a choice. Like, is this person going to choose me? And so finding somebody that was so nice, I was like, and he was choosing me. Like he said, he's going to call me every day, and he does, and he's devoted. And we again eventually get into this part where like we move in together and things are like good. It just felt so like safe and grounding.
Yeah. Cause if all you know is chaos and somebody cheating on you and being broken up with, somebody who you don't think is going to do any of those things is going to feel right. I could see that. So how do we get to a point where you're like, okay, it doesn't just feel safe, but I could be happy doing what we're doing for the rest of my life. Like, how do you guys get to the engagement?
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
When I think of him, it was like I always had fun with him. I loved his values. We had really shared, we had a lot of shared goals. We had a lot of similar outlooks in life. Something that really drew me to him was how much of a family person he was. If I had to describe my family, I would say it's broken and chaotic. Like, my parents are divorced. It's kind of chaotic. It's a little broken, but we're still a great family. And his family was just like so warm and put together. And from the outside, they just had this amazing, like, they were just so connected. Like, this is a guy who called his parents for an hour after he worked every single day. This is a kind of person who had just like this warm, beautiful sister who was always checking in on him and making sure we were doing really well. And I think because of, again, like the things that I grew up experiencing, this was so different. And I really want to be a part of a family. Like, I really want that. And so I think seeing him interact like that, it was, you know, the TikTok trend of like, is that guy going to be how does he treat you? Is he going to treat your kids the same way? Like, how is that? What is that saying about him? Right. And I was like, you know, yeah, like I would want my kids to like end up like him. Like, if, you know, at the end of the day, I would want my kids to like feel loved and be part of a family. So I think that was a huge part into me making this decision. And at the same time, I think that whole family dynamic is kind of what made it blow up.
So you guys get engaged, 10 months go by. What happens that blows the relationship up?
I don't really know or have answers from him, but my first guess would be when I ended up being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, also known as MS. I try not to believe this is one of the reasons that he left, but it is a big diagnosis and it does affect people pretty heavily. I remember sitting in the hospital room and I just got the diagnosis and I was like kind of like crying. And he was like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Like, very comforting, very nurturing. I mean, he was always like that. And I looked at him and I said, I'm not talking to you as your fiance. I'm talking to you as your best friend. If you can't handle this diagnosis, because this is like a life sentence, like this is a diagnosis that's going to follow me. If you can't handle this, I need you to leave now. And he said, through sickness and like through health and sickness, or however it goes, through health and through sickness and in health. That's how it goes. Through sickness and in health is what he said to me. And my dad had even talked to him. My dad is kind of like, you know, left my mom when she was diagnosed with cancer, things like that. I guess didn't leave her, but had an affair, so to speak. So I think my dad really related to, you know, and as a therapist, I know the statistics of like when women get ill, their spouses tend to leave. That's a really high statistic. And so I was trying to get I was trying to get in front of that and protect myself, I think, in that moment. And he went through it all with me. Like, he helped me start walking again. He like really stepped up to the plate where I was like growing closer to him. And I think this would be my guess, is he actually started building resentment against me in those moments. Like, there's like a time that I think back on, to where like I asked him to go get my cane out of the car and I had forgotten where I parked the car. I said I was like out front of the apartment complex and I actually parked like in the way back, like on a kind of like across the street. Like it was not at all where I told him I had parked. And he like came in and he's like threw the cane at me. Like I'm in bed. I can barely like feel my limbs and our bed is elevated, so like the cane didn't hit anything but the floor, but he like threw it at me and he's not like that. That is not a character. That's not a characteristic he has, but that was like one of the moments where I was like, wow. Okay. And then physical intimacy really started to decrease during this time. So the whole like blow up situation, or quote unquote blow up, because it's really not, it's really kind of just flat how it ended. Like I call it
That's a quick question about something you said, where you said you felt like he was building resentment towards you. What do you think he was resentful of?
If I had to guess, I think he was resentful of like this picture perfect thing falling apart. I don't really know. He never really shared feelings with me. His family is a lot. They're definitely the kind of people who care a lot about how they are perceived. And I think he took a lot of pride in being like the nice person. I also think, when you aren't sharing your feelings, and you're not sharing like what you're struggling with, resentment builds. And I think my diagnosis, I kept trying to be vulnerable with him of like, this is a really scary thing for me. Like, I don't know any of these questions. Like, I have so many questions I don't have answers to. Like, I'm really scared. I was like really leaning into him. And every time I asked him, like, how are you feeling about the diagnosis? It was just like, I'm fine. I really genuinely think for some reason he felt too scared to share whatever. And it was just building up inside him until he kind of like was like, I can't do this anymore.
How does the engagement come to an end?
Like physical intimacy hasn't been happening like since my diagnosis, really. Everything is just kind of like bleh. And so finally I said, I think we need to like have like a chat because I was like, I just am feeling off. I'm just like, I need vulnerability from you. And he was like, okay. Another day went by and he still hadn't brought it up to me. And I said, hey, I'm okay with you coming to me when you're ready, but maybe can you give me a timeline? Like, can we think about like when you want to have this conversation? And he got his tone got really elevated and he's like, you can't change me. I'm not somebody that talks about my feelings. I'm not a vulnerable person. We're not having this conversation. And I was like, we need to have these conversations. Like at this point, I'm so anxious. Like he's not even like sitting next to me on the couch. Like he went from like I would get home later. He went from like making me dinner to just like making himself dinner. And then I'd get home at like 9 p.m. and be like, hey, what did you make for dinner? And he'd be like, I had a sandwich, like you can figure it out. Like it was just like completely like a 180 for me. And then my best friend was getting married that Saturday. And I said, hey, I really don't want to not know where my relationship is with my fiance when my best friend is getting married and I have to give a speech at her wedding about how wonderful love is. So can we like figure it out? And there was like weird incidents like that whole week. Like one day he like went to this bar and I was supposed to meet him there. And then I got like kind of distracted. I had to like take the dog out and doing everything, shower, like all those things. And he was like, I'll be home at 7:30. And I got out of the shower. He still wasn't home. It was like 8. I was like, this is crazy. So I texted him like, where are you? And he's like, oh, I met this guy at the bar and I went to his apartment. And I was like, it's just like weird stuff like that started happening. And I'm like, one, I don't know if any guys listen to this podcast, please have them reach out and let me know if they will meet a random guy at a bar and then go to their apartment for a beer. So it just like was weird stuff like that started happening. So finally I was like, I need you to be vulnerable. I sat him down on the couch and I said, you're going to talk like kind of like a mom. I feel so bad. Like this was not super nice of me, but I was like, you need to talk to me. Like I need to know what's going on. And I need you to be vulnerable with. And he's like, well, I don't know where to start. And I said, let's start with physical intimacy. And I said, what is going on? Why don't you want to have sex with me? or I said, why don't you want to have sex? And he said, I don't know. And then I asked this question and I really beat myself up. I wish I would never have asked this question. I said, do you, because this is coming from the email, right? Mm-hmm. I said, do you not want to have sex or do you not want to have sex with me? And he said, with you. Oh my God. And I literally just started sobbing. I started bawling. He told me I was being emotional and this is why he can't tell me things because I overreact and I'm dramatic. And then he left the apartment. And so I went into just like an anxious spiral, like my relationship's over. My fiance hates me. Like this is like doomed. And I wasn't being the best girlfriend or fiance in that moment. I was texting him like, where did you go? Like, where are you? Like in my head, I'm like, he's with this guy that he met at the bar or guy. I don't know. Like what? So I was like, I wasn't trying to blow up his phone, but I definitely called him like 3 or 4 times and texted him like, hey, where did you go? And he came back into the apartment about 2 hours later. And he's like, hey, I just called a friend. Like you didn't have to like freak out, but this is why I don't tell you things is because you are so dramatic. You like really need to work on your emotions. And the conversation then became more about my reaction than his behavior. And that's when my intuition started kind of speaking up. So fast forward, we went to the wedding. Great time. Actually, like he was telling everybody how excited he was to get like to marry me. He was talking to all my friends about just like our future wedding plans and how much he loved me to like all these people. And it was the next day that he broke up with me.
Stop. How did he break up with you?
Yeah, it was a Monday. Well, I guess the wedding was Saturday. Sunday, we had like the drive home. Monday, went to work. Before I said, hey, we need to like finish that conversation from like now, like 5 days ago. And he's like, okay. And I was like, okay. And I went to work and my Mondays are back to back with clients. Like I literally have clients from 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7. Get home at like 9-ish, 8-ish. During that day, I was supposed to the next day on Tuesday go to the major baseball league they providers. And so I was supposed to go with my colleagues to this baseball game. And they sent out an email saying, hey, we have extra tickets. And I was like, oh, this is wonderful. I will grab a ticket for my fiance. So I grabbed a ticket and he was like, oh, great. I have a meeting that day, but I think I can move around. Like so excited to go to the game. But he's like, maybe you should ask this friend if they could like maybe take my ticket in case I can't get out of this meeting. And I was like, okay, no worries. And he was like, I love you so much. Like, I can't wait to see you. He was like, we're taking a Memorial Day trip. He's like, make sure you take Memorial Day Monday off because I don't get time off. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So doing that all day, I was still feeling really anxious. Like something in me wasn't like sitting right, but I was getting this reassurance. Like he told me to take that Monday off. He told me he was excited for the game and he told me he loved me. So like, obviously like I'm having anxiety. So I get in my car, I drive home. I actually called my friend in the parking lot, the same friend I called on our first date. And I was like, this guy didn't talk about him. He didn't ask me one question. That was the friend I called sitting in the parking lot. And I was like, I'm really afraid to go inside. She's like, it's going to be fine. Like, you are just really anxious. Like, I can't see this ending. Like, think about this weekend. He was sharing how much he loved you with everyone, XYZ. And I was like, you are right. I walk in, my shoe broke. And a baby bird died on my way into the apartment complex. My favorite pair of heels literally just like broke. And I watched a baby bird splat like in his nest. It was really sad. So I was like, oh my God, what the heck is happening here? I get into the apartment and he's like sitting there watching hockey and I like changing my pajamas and I know we're supposed to have this conversation, but he like isn't saying anything. So I'm like, whatever. I just start scrolling on my phone, like in the bedroom. And he's like, hey, you want to come out here and have a chat? And I was like, sure. And I sit on the couch and he's like, you know, like I will always care about you. And that's kind of like the moment I was like, oh my God, like he is breaking up with me. Like, he's ending this. Like, it's not even a conversation of like, this is how I've been feeling. Like, how are you feeling? Like a check-in. It's just like, here it is. And he goes, I really care about you. I'll always care about you. Of course, I start crying because I know what's happening. And I like went to grab his hands because we were sitting across from each other, and he like pulled him back. And he's like, I'm not happy anymore. There's no spark. We're done.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
And I was like, okay. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, obviously crying, but, and I can't really remember everything, but I was like, what do you mean? Like, how is this done? Like, what do you mean? There's no spark left. And obviously I knew I don't actually know what he actually meant, but I'm like, yeah, there's like no physical intimacy. You don't tell me things. And at this point, even with like medical bills and stuff, we were talking about even canceling the wedding and just eloping where, so we wouldn't even have a bridal party. So like for him to bring that up, I was like, this doesn't even.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And so then I texted my friends that I had like previously said, hey, if he can't come to the major baseball league game, like, do you want to come with? I texted one of the girls and I was like, LOL, fiance broke up with me. Okay, do you want to go to the game tomorrow? Skull emoji. She was like, LOL, what's the actual reason? And I said, no, he broke up with me. And so she actually drove an hour and a half to come. Well, her husband actually drove an hour and a half to come pick me up. And they picked me up. And that was kind of that. The next day, he actually texted me and said, thanks for listening to me last night. I hope you have a great day. And that's how it ended.
That's the last time you heard from him?
No. There was some, well, we lived in a 700 square foot apartment together in a big city to save on rent. And so I was living with him for a little while. And this is when I started learning a little bit more from him. Like, he would make comments of like, this is a toxic situation. And I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, he has family in this town, like in the city he moved to, he has like cousins and like people around him where he could easily like spend the night there. I don't know anyone except for these two girls that I've met on Bumble BFF. Like, I do not have like a strong support system at all.
Yeah.
And he like refused to like even tell his people that we had broken up. Like, I actually ended up texting his cousins at one point and was like, this is the situation. Can he stay with you for a little while? Because he was saying like, it's toxic. He was calling me crazy. At one point, I went to grab some of my stuff to stay with one of the girls I met on Bumble for a little while. And he didn't let me leave the apartment. And I was like, why can't I leave? And he's like, we just need to figure out finances and all these logistical things right now. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock at night. Can we like maybe talk about this on a Saturday, like during the daytime? And it was like, no, we have to figure this out right now. And I was like, okay, not a good move for me, but all my finances were actually in an account with his name on it. Mm-hmm. And so something that I was doing is I was keeping the ring until I could get my money that I put into that account transferred over to me. Cause that's the only thing I really had that had leverage at that point. And so he pretty much wouldn't let me leave until we like came to an agreement on like the finances. And I said, hey, I want this amount and then I will give you the ring. And he's like, well, how do I know you have the ring? Okay. And in hindsight, accountability here, I had seen it come through the mail that he had forgotten to pay the insurance on the ring a month before this. And I didn't say anything because we were like kind of tight with money. And I was just like, I'm going to be really careful with it. Like, I won't lose it. But in that moment, I was kind of a bitch. And I was like, yeah, how do you not know? Like, you have insurance on the ring. So wouldn't it matter? Like, if it was like in a lake or something. And he got so upset. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, what if I just toss it in the lake last weekend? Because my friend lives at a lake house, the girl I was staying with. Her parents have a lake house. So I was like, yeah, I just tossed it in there. And he like was like, no, you didn't. You're not that stupid. You would never do that. And I was like, well, how do you know? I said, can we just figure out the finances piece? And he goes, I need to see the ring for proof. I need to see the ring. I need to see the ring. My friends actually call him like Schmeagol, I think it is from like the Lord of the Rings, where it's like precious. Like, I need the ring because he was so obsessed with like getting proof I had the ring. And of course, like, and I said to him in that moment, I was like, why wouldn't you trust me? I'm like, I'm joking. I'm sorry. That was like rude of me. I said, I have the ring. Why wouldn't you trust me? He goes, I have no empathy left for you. Like, I can't trust you. And I was like, this again, 180 from this person. And I was like, I can't trust you. I came home one day after like an hour and a half before I walked in the door. You told me you couldn't wait to go to this game with me and that you loved me. And then you broke up with me. And he's like, yeah, I just had to see your face to know like I needed to break up with you. And then he told me like some other like surface level excuses of like his actual type is blonde, 6 foot with big titties, and that I smell bad. And there's just like all these like other things that he kind of started saying. And it was in that moment, there was another comment. He was like, you're gonna say or do anything to get me back. And it was that moment where I looked at him and dead in the face. I'm like, you ended our engagement. I will never want you back. And I think I needed to say that for myself because at that point, I think I maybe was desperate enough to take him back after he said all those things. So I think even saying that. So it didn't end the way I hoped. I wish it ended a little lot more amicable, but it did not.
No.
The last time I heard from him was honestly like when I ended up giving the ring back. So we like exchanged, he Venmo'd me the money, I handed him the ring, and he asked me to bring my dog to like say goodbyes. And he literally just gave the dog two pats. He didn't say a word to me during the exchange. He just gave the dog two pats, didn't even look at the dog, you know, like
Yeah.
it was very cold, honestly.
Hey, so your relationship of a little over 4 years ends, and you're kind of left with just, well, he just wasn't into it anymore. Do you believe that, or do you have other theories as to why he was really trying to get out of the relationship?
I mean, I really can't speculate. I mean, obviously, when it comes to closure, I think a lot of the times, and I've seen this in my own like therapeutic space of like people saying like I just need answers for closure. I think for me, like the biggest closure that I can give is accepting that I don't have answers. Of course, there's like theories going around. Like my family is very set on the fact that he left because of my diagnosis, and he wants, understandably, he wants a healthy and happy wife. And that just wasn't me in that moment. Like I was grieving my body. I was grieving like this person that I once knew. So that's a theory. A couple of my friends really are on the pride theory. They think maybe he's closeted just because, you know, like wouldn't kiss me. There was like other things that kind of went into like the physical intimacy. There's another theory too, like, you know, in the mental health world, we think of attachment styles, and I think this is a very there's people in my life, and I kind of lean into this like avoidant attachment, anxious attachment lens of like he wanted these things. I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe that he cared for me and he loved me. I think he got really afraid of being vulnerable, and I think he got really afraid of getting close to somebody in case they leave. So that's another theory. So there's just like lots of theories that are circling around.
Yeah. Well, how are you taking care of yourself in the wake of all of this?
That's a really great question. I'm trying to give myself some grace to grieve. So like the days that I am really angry, I allow myself to be really angry. And that's what a lot of my grief looks like currently, is just like a lot of anger. I definitely find myself rationalizing a lot of my emotions. Think that's pretty common for mental health professionals. So I rationalize a lot of like, well, he wasn't communicative and like you lost yourself in this relationship. And I kind of like talk through those things. I allow myself to cry when I want to cry. I don't like crying. So this has been like a self-healing thing for me in general. It's just like allow myself to cry. Like I actually was just watching is it like Ginny and Georgia? What was
Yeah.
it? Yeah, I was just watching that, and there was like a scene in there where she's pretty vulnerable, and her ex Marcus, I think, shows up. So spoiler alert. And I just started crying. Like they're just like having a happy moment on like this bench and this ice cream, like eating ice cream. And I'm like, oh my God, like I've always wanted somebody like to choose me like that. Yet I like didn't even choose myself like that. And I just started bawling. So
What do
I've
you mean
just
you
been,
didn't choose yourself like that?
yeah, like I've always wanted somebody to choose me, but I was not choosing myself. I lost myself so much in that relationship because I was so worried about keeping everything together and making sure he would stay that I wasn't inwardly reflecting and being like, is this even a person you want to be with? Like, this person, again, was nice, but he wasn't kind. Like, he wasn't kind to my emotions. Like, he didn't want to know more about me. He knew that like my favorite flower was purple daisies, but he didn't know the why. Like he knew my favorite color was yellow, but he never inquired why. He knew my favorite song was all these things, but he never listened to the lyrics. It was like he knew these things, but he didn't know me. And I think I was starting to also not know me in the relationship. Kind of like I learned more about his language than I learned about who I was and where I wanted to go. And I think that really started when I moved in with him because I moved myself away from all of these things that I really enjoyed. And I moved, careers, a life, a different city. And while all those things were great and I got so many cool things out of them, they weren't me.
You mentioned a lot in the start of this podcast that you felt like he was really nice and you felt very safe with him because of your past relationship experiences. How has this affected your relationship with safety or what you thought was safety?
I think it goes back into attachment. And maybe again, this is like the mental health professional in me, but I think avoidance can look a lot like secure attachment. So when I first met him, I was like, he is like the most secure person I know. And you could ask any of my friends. Like I was saying, I have never met in my life a securely attached person, and he is it. And he looked secure because he was sure of himself. He looked secure because he was able to like stand up for, people. Like I think of one example of this was the first time I went to his house. His mom was like, "So, what do you like in my son?" And I was like, "What?" I blacked out. I don't remember what I said to the question, but he stepped in and he said, "Mom, that's not appropriate." So like even him like stepping in that moment, I was like, he's so secure, but really it was just avoidance of like conflict or difficult emotions. And I think he made me feel safe because I'm very anxious. And I was like, this person is somebody that I can trust. And being nice, like nice avoids conflict to please everyone, right? Like they truly want to show up and be the best person they can be. But kindness is not just avoiding conflict, but sharing, hey, this hurt me so other people can grow, right? Nice tells people what they want to hear. Kind tells people what they need to hear out of love. Nice for like boundaries, they say yes to everything to sacrifice, maybe personal truths. Kind sets healthy boundaries and holds people accountable. Nice is polite in mannerisms, buying you flowers, holding the car door open. But kind is like trait focused, right? It's like, how is this person's well-being? Like, how are they doing? How are they feeling? I had so many more people check in and ask me how I was doing after my diagnosis than my own fiance.
Wow.
And I think that says a lot. And it's not to say he's a bad person. He's a really nice person. He's amazing. He's going to do so many great things in his life. We're just not for each other. And
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that. I'm
And
very thankful for him for seeing that because I didn't. I would have chose him.
Yeah, because you were committed to it and you thought that this was the right thing because he's nice, like you said, and you felt like that what he was bringing to the table was what you thought safety was supposed to look like. But now you've got to redefine that for yourself moving forward. So I'm curious what advice you would give to people who resonate with your story and feel like they haven't chosen themselves in previous relationships, or maybe they don't even know that about themselves yet. And one day they're going to look back on this podcast and be like, oh my God, I'm not picking myself, or I'm not putting myself first in this relationship. What advice would you give that person?
I think my advice would be, I hate to say this, but get to know yourself and make sure you're choosing yourself within the relationship. Like, make sure like you're listening to yourself and you're not just gaslighting yourself into like staying with someone like I was with, like, it's just anxiety, it's just this, it's just that. And you know, I was in this relationship. I started it at 23. I'm 28 now. The breakup was very recent, but also, a lot of amazing things have happened, and like your life does not stop because all of your friends are married, all of them are starting to have kids, you know, whatever. Your life starts whenever you want it to, and you can have new beginnings whenever they're meant to happen. And so that's also some advice too, is like your life doesn't end like after the age of 28. Like, I'm just getting started and it's really scary and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know that it's gonna be okay.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.